Morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Memches. We are Memzayin Amud Beis. We're on the very top of Memzayin Amud Beis. We're starting today with the words Amar Rafram. The Gemara is continuing its discussion of Treifus. We are in the Perek of Eilat Treifus, and consequently, we are learning a little bit of anatomy and a lot of halacha. We're going to remind you of a Rashi that we learned earlier. A lot of this is Mesorah, so based on a lot of traditions. You'll see in the course of today's daf this idea that so many of these halachas regarding various treifas, whether it is or does not serve as a treifa. So a lot of it's going to be based on Mesorah. Some people had a Mesorah. Some of the Amorim did not have the Mesorah. We'll talk more about that later on. Daf Memches, it's Rashi Tevos of Moach. It'd be much better if we were learning about the brain, and so therefore we'd have much easier time remembering that Daf Memches has to do with the brain, but it doesn't have to do with the brain. It is exclusively in the domain of the lung. So I don't have a good mnemonic in terms of remembering that today's daf has to do with the lung. So just think to yourself, Moach, and it's the brain. It's not the brain, it's the lung. And we continue in our discussion on the lungs. And on Memzayin Amud Aleph, Memzayin Amud Beis, on the very top of the Amud. So more discussions regarding the lungs. Yesterday we spoke in detail about what happens if there's an adhesion. Let's say there's some adhesive material. Right, it's probably the way Rashi described in yesterday's daf was basically some mucus that hardened. Mucus that comes from the inside of the lung, comes out through the neck, through a puncture in the lung, and now adheses to another of the parts of the lung. So as we learned in yesterday's daf, sirchas under normal circumstances generally will render an animal a treifa. And the reason why, as we learned according to Rashi, is because there was a hole there. Most probably the explanation of why there's a sicha there is because there was a hole there, and in order for the animal to organically plug up its own hole, so therefore secreted some mucus through that hole, and that hole and the mucus then harden up and causes adhesion. That's the Rashi's understanding of it. Tosas does have, in fact, a different understanding exactly how sirchas work, but in the meantime, for our purposes, just in terms of chazara, so that's the way Rashi explains the sirchas. There are a limited number of circumstances where the sircha is going to be okay. We discussed a little bit of that yesterday. Kisidron is an idea that we brought up yesterday. That means to say that if the sircha is attaching one lobe to another lobe, as we learned in yesterday's daf, when it comes to the cranial lobes, there are 5 cranial lobes in total. There's actually a 6th, but we discussed that briefly at the end of yesterday's shiur, but there are a total of 5 cranial lobes. There are 3 on the right side and 2 on the left side. And we talked about how if the adhesion adheses one of the cranial lobes to another one of the cranial lobes that is contiguous to it. So we learned in yesterday that would be okay under those circumstances, and Rashi discussed that in detail. If, however, the adhesion is connecting one lobe to another lobe, which is not contiguous, so that becomes the problem now, and again, according to Rashi, because it's going to end up snapping, breaking, and exposing the hole that was once there. Okay, and again, as I pointed out yesterday, according to Rashi, Rashi is really interesting for a lot of reasons, but most notably, because if, in fact, the sircha is evidence of the fact that there once was a hole, so that means that once upon a time there was a hole, and now it's corrected, and generally, by treifas, we don't assume that. Generally, by treifas, we assume that once a hole, the animal's treifa, and forever a treifa. And there is no remedy of a treifa. So that's what makes Rashi interesting, and there's a discussion to be had within Rashi. But in the meantime, however, with all that as just a backdrop, just good context for our discussion, we continue in the Gemara. We're on the very top of Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Rafam. Hi, Red, the Damila Ufta Treifa. So if the lung looks at all like a piece of wood, so it's going to be treifa. Now, the comparison between a lung and a piece of wood can go in a number of different directions. In fact, the Gemara takes it in a number of different directions. Notably, the Gemara says, "Ikadamri bechazusa." So some say that when we're comparing the lung to the wood, we're talking about in terms of its appearance, the coloration. Now, even that's interesting because obviously wood has many different colors. And so there's not one blank color, a block color for a piece of wood. But anyway, we'll try to explain that a little bit better in just a moment. So some say it's in terms of appearance, but Igadamre Bigishusa. And some say not in terms of its coloration, but rather in terms of its texture. And again, we'll describe that in just a moment in a little bit better. Now, Igadamre Dinafika. Now, the way Rashi understands the Gemara right now, this is not a third Igadamre, but rather this is going back on the first point, and the Gemara now is just explaining the coloration just a little bit better. Meaning, Nefecha. Nefecha, as Rashi explains over here,
Nasis Levana, Kibikas.
In other words, we're basically looking at like at a cut piece of wood, obviously one that is whitish in nature. And basically what we're doing is we're describing the lungs as being whitish in nature. So that is what Ruffram was describing. And he's saying that basically a lung that's whitish in nature is no good. That's one way to explain it. Now, Ikedamri de Pechiza. Rashi says this is talking about the texture. And in terms of the texture, we mean that it's like wood, hard like wood. Obviously, we're looking for a soft material when it comes to the lungs. The lungs are going to be expanding and contracting. It's spongy in nature. And if it gets hard like a block of wood, so in that regard, that's what Ruffra meant when he said that it's trefa. And that's what he meant when he compared it to a block of wood. Now, v'ikadarmi d'shia d'leisluchi tuche d'une. Another way to express it is that when Ruffram was saying that a lung that's compared to a block of wood is no good is because it doesn't have definition, meaning what we expect when we open up the lungs, when we open up the chest, I should say, and see the lungs, is that we expect to see lobes. We expect to see three lobes on the right, two lobes on the left, again, the cranial lobes, not even the caudal lobes. So that's what we expect to see. And meanwhile, if we do not see the definition, if we do not see individualized lobes, that's what Ruffram meant when he said that such an animal would in fact be a trefa. Amarava kakuchla kshera. Now we're talking about colorations of the lung. So if it is kuchla, kuchla generally is blue. So we're looking now at a blue set of lungs. So kakuchla kshera kidyuta trefa. Now, if it's black in nature, so then it's going to be trefa. Now, dyuta, usually speaking, is a reference to some sort of shoe polish. So over here, black shoe polish. Generally speaking, the shoes were black at the time. And so, you know, for the most part, they still are. But such a set of lungs, and the animal, obviously, in conjunction with the lungs, will be a trefa. Now, Dam Rabbi Chanina Shechor Adom Hu Elo Shalaka. And the Gemara over here makes reference to a Gemara that we saw back in Nida regarding the relationship between black and red, specifically as it relates to blood. You see black blood that was, once upon a time, red. And what happens is over the course of time with oxidation, so what ends up happening is that blood red turns black. So when you see black, black is really just a developed red. That's the way to view black. The Gemara Nida talks about the four different types of bloods, really the five different types of bloods, red bloods that emanate from a woman, discharged from a woman, and one of them is the color black. And the Gemara over there says, how could black be a subcategory of red? But now we have just learned. In other words, in terms of blood, that is how blood ends up developing from red to black. Now, the Gemara, interestingly enough, in just a moment is going to tell us, what about red lungs? So interestingly, the Gemara is going to say red lungs are okay. Even though the developed sequence of going from red to black is no good, but interestingly, as we're going to see momentarily, red would be okay. Yeroka kshera. Now, what if it's yeroka? Now, the obvious question, which we always grapple with, what color is yarok? In modern Hebrew, it's green. In the Gemara, it can range anywhere from yellow to green. So what we're going to be discussing in the course of today's daf, nearly every single time the word yarok comes up in the Gemara, so it's always going to be a discussion whether or not it's yellow or green. Here, the benefit we have in our Gemara is that debate's going to actually take place in the Gemara itself. We'll see it inside in the Gemara, whether yarok is yellow or green. But anyway, the Gemara now is going to tell us that that when it comes to lungs, Adam, did I skip just one phrase? Adam hu ala shalaka. Yarok kshera. Yarok kshera mid rab nasan, Adam kshera mid rab nasan. And so the Gemara says that as far as two colorations of the lungs are concerned, so yarok is okay, we're going to see that from Rabbi Nasan, and Adam is okay, and we're going to see that too from Rabbi Nasan. So far the colors on the table, which are no good, well, what do we have? We have, so far the blue is fine, black is no good, red is acceptable, and yarok, which may be yellow, may be green, and we will see in just a moment which one is actually making reference to. And the Gemara says the last two colors are of yarok and adam, so we know that from Rabbi Nasan that it's okay. And how do we know that? D'tanya, the Gemara quotes now the following braisa. Rabbi Nasan Omer, a story that we've seen already before, we've seen it a couple times throughout Shas, we'll see it again today's daf. Rabbi Nasan Omer, pamachas halach l'karchayam, there was one time when I went out to the islands, and bata isha achas lefanai, shemal b'na rishon umeis, sheni umeis, a woman gave a bris milah to her first child, and Rachmanis, the first child, died, and the same eventuality happened to her second child. And Shlishi Hevisa Lefanai. And so her third child now she brings to me, and the shaila is a very simple one and a very powerful one. Do I give a bris milah to the third child? So Re'isa Shaya Adom. So I saw now that the basic complexion of the child was reddish in nature. Amarti la biti himtini la ashivala bo damo. And so the way he understood it and the way he diagnosed it is that the red complexion of the baby has to do with a immature circulatory system. And so he says to her, well, what you're going to do is you're just simply going to wait. Wait till circulation is fully matured and developed, and then give the baby a bris, and you will have no problem. Hamtina lo umala oso v'chayev ayukarin oso nasan bavli al shemo. And so, with Baruch Hashem, wonderful results. She waited, the baby's reddish color dissipated, and then she gave the baby a bris milah, baby survived, and she named the baby after Nasan HaBavli. Shumpa machas alach l'medina kaputkiya. And a second story, very similar, with the only difference being the color. And I went to the town of Kaputkiya, bata yisha lefanai shemala ben arishon ames, sheni ome shlishi zevisa lefanai re'isisha yarok. So again, same story, but here, the baby's colorations were yarok, which again, somewhere between green and yellow. We'll probably say yellow over here, just simply because of our own experiences. In other words, generally speaking, babies are jaundiced, and so that's yellowish in nature. But anyway, so he yarok, dam bris. And so, upon further investigation, I saw, once again, there was no dam bris, which again speaks to this idea that this circulatory system is not yet fully developed. And so he says to her, again, the same advice. Wait. So I said to her, just wait until the condition goes away. And then, and again, the same result. In that we wait until this condition went away, then they gave the baby a bris milah, and the baby survived. Okay, and so basically what we have from these two stories is as follows. When it comes to the colors of Adom and Yarok, now Adom we could say very confidently is red. And Yarok at this point in time, somewhere between yellow and green, we'd prefer to say yellow, but that's going to be clarified better in just a moment. But we now know that these are conditions which are all treatable, curable, they have a good prognosis. And again, what the Gemara does, as it's done now a couple of times, is it took a condition, obviously not specific to the lungs, really more specific to the circulatory system, and then just simply transposed it over to the lungs. So if Adom and Yarok are okay regarding the baby, meaning we see it's treatable, we see it's curable, so it must be the same thing regarding the lungs as well. And again, this goes back to one of the most basic discussions that we have, and that if it's a trefa, it is not a curable situation. But once we see that it is curable, once we see that it's not only do we give it a diagnosis, but it has a good prognosis, so under those circumstances, it's not going to be a trefa. Good. That's what the Gemara now has done for us regarding Adom and Yarok. Continues in the Gemara, Amar Rav Kahana. Kikav dak shera kibisra trefa. Now, if your lungs look liverish-like, so then it's going to be a kasher. If your lungs look like basar, like meat, like the muscle of the animal, so then it's going to be treif. Now over here, not perfectly clear. Is the Gemara here talking about coloration? Is it talking about texture? It's not perfectly clear in the Gemara which aspects of the liver and the muscle is the Gemara comparing the lungs to. And in the context of our Gemara, certainly sounds like we're talking about color, because that's been our discussion. So certainly contextually, it sounds like color. And again, liver, and the color of liver and the color of muscle, at least as the pictures here seem to indicate, don't really. I mean, I understand the liver is more reddish in nature, but we just said that red is okay. So, again, open-ended question in terms of what aspects are we comparing it to? Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, right. Okay, again, not clear. It's not clear. Visi mancha ubasa basada trefa. And the Gemara says, and I'll just give you a great mnemonic to help you remember it.
The pasuk says basar basada trefa. It's a play on the pasuk. Obviously, it's not pashup shot in the pasuk, but basar, meaning that if the lungs look like basar, so the result is trefa. Amar of Sama Bere Derava Hireya Dedamia Kishusa Ukemorika Ukegombiasa Trefa. So the lungs that are in color look like either kshos or marika. Marika is saffron, which generally speaking has a yellowish color to it. And ukugombiasa or like egg. Presumably we're talking about the yolk. So trefa, in all these circumstances, the animal would in fact be a trefa. Ela yoroka dikshera echidamya. So interesting. So up until now, we've assumed that yarok is okay. Not only assumed, we stated that yarok was okay. And meanwhile, you're telling me that these types of yarok are no good? So the Gemara says, hey chidamya, bikarti. So the Gemara says, good. And what we have to say over here is that when we previously said that yarok was okay, it was acceptable, it was green. We were talking about the yarok of green and not the yarok of yellow. So again, like I mentioned earlier, the ambiguity of what yarok is, whether it's green or whether it's yellow. So you see the ambiguity right here in the Gemara. Interesting that the Gemara just taught us now that yellow is just no good and green is okay. Why is that interesting? Because I go back to the story regarding the babies. Meaning up until now, I told you that the babies were, right, the second baby was jaundiced in nature. I say that because that's what we're used to seeing in terms of the birth of every baby, right? Every baby has a degree of jaundice. So we assumed it was yellowish in nature, but now based on the Gemara that we just learned right now, you know, in other words, meaning it doesn't affect the halacha regarding a yellow baby, but the baby that we were discussing previously was not yellow, but rather more greenish in color. Amar Ravina. Continuing in the Gemara and Mem Zayin Amud Beis, we're halfway down in the Amud, Atum Berea. So what if there is a blockage of the lung? Meaning what you're doing now is you're blowing up the lungs after you shecht the animal, you blow up the lungs to see whether or not there's hole in the lungs, and so you blow it up to see if there's any leakage. And what happens now is that some of the lungs is just simply not blowing up, right? An occlusion, right? There's something along those lines. So atum bereya. So mycina sakina vekarina la. So the Gemara says, okay, now this part of the lung now that's just simply refusing to blow up. So there's obviously blockage. What is the cause of the blockage? So the Gemara says, so here's what you're going to do. You take a knife, the karina lay, and you cut off that portion. Now, if there's pus coming out, so that means to say that we know what's blocking it. It's the pus that's blocking it. And so as a result of that, we're good, meaning we're fine. We now have a very good explanation in terms of why that portion of the lung did not blow up. However, the elo, so now, what if, let's say, there's no pus that comes out? And so basically now I have a part of the lung that's simply refusing to inflate. And so now, with no pus, so now there's a really good chance that probably, or not probably, but possibly, there's a hole over there, and the reason why it didn't blow up is because of the hole. And if that's in fact correct, if that's a correct diagnosis, so that means to say now that the animal's a trefa. What do we do? And so now this should sound familiar. We saw this yesterday. We're going to see it now again. Mosvina la gadfa roko imivasvut sakshera v'ilo trefa. So what you do is either you put a feather in that area, or you're going to take spit and apply spit to that area. If the feather starts going up and down because of the air coming out, or if the bubble starts bubbling, kshera. So then it's going to be kasher. Now remember, previously we said that that's no good. Yeah, but previously we were diagnosing a lung before we started cutting it. Over here, because of the blockage, so we cut the area of the lung that was uninflated, that refused to inflate. And we want to see if there could be any airflow now in that area. So what we're looking for here is we're looking for airflow. We want to see airflow. So imavatsuk shera v'ilo trefa. Now, if there is airflow, meaning at least if there's a potential of air to go into that area of the lungs, so then it's going to be fine. However, if there is no bubbling, or if there's the feather is not going up and down, so then that means that there's no airflow in that area, and therefore the animal is in fact going to be a trefa. Amar Rav Yosef krum shalom machmas makeh. Berea, eno krum. Now, let's say you have a little bit of a patch growing in an area on the lung. As we discussed previously, Rashi quoted this earlier, but now we see the Gemara here inside. So, eno krum. Any kind of patch, organic patch that grows on the lungs is not considered a patch, and therefore the hole is considered, in fact, a hole, and therefore the animal's a trefa. V'amar Rav Yosef Hairea, de'avsha. Now, let's say Rav Yosef says you find a lung which is hissing. Now, I know we saw this just in yesterday's daf, and we're going to be seeing it again as well. The reason why we're going over it is because previously we mentioned Rav Yosef only incidentally. Because remember, we had the discussion that there are two seals, there are two covers to the lung, the lower one and the upper one. And the question that we dealt with in yesterday's daf was, what happens if there's a hole in the lower one, but there's no hole in the upper one? And we used Rav Yosef in order to prove the point that the lung, in fact, would be kosher, and the animal would in fact, be kosher. But now we're just quoting Rav Yosef in of itself. So, Am Rav Yosef, I read the Avshay Yadin and Hecha Avshay Menichin and La Gadfa, Ogila Roke, Imavatsvas the Trefa, Vilok Shera. And so here, when you have a lung that's hissing, so if we can identify the leak, the area of the leak, and we put a feather in that area, or we just put a little bit of spit in that area, and it starts bubbling. So now we know that, in fact, does have a leak. We now know that the hissing is representative of the leak, and therefore the animal is, in fact, trefa. V'iloya danan la. So, but what if we do not know whether or not, where the leak is coming from? So we're hearing the hissing, but we don't know where it's coming from. So, maise mishichusa damaya. So bring in a bowl of water, and as you remember in yesterday's daf, and here we're repeating the same point, pishure. It's got to be warm water. And we say, why not hot water? Why not cold water? The Gemara goes through both points again. You don't put in hot water because what's going to happen is that the lungs are going to shrivel. And as a result of that, even if there was a hole, that hole is going to be covered up. Don't put in cold water because it's going to stiffen up the lungs. But rather in warm water. And if the water starts bubbling, so now we know that the hissing is in fact an indication of a leak, and therefore the animal is in fact a trefa. However, if there's no bubbling of the water, the animal is a kshera. We heard the hissing, so as we explained yesterday's daf, and we're repeating right now, the hissing is air leaking, but the leakage is going from the inner to the outer. But in terms of the lungs in of themselves, they are still intact, and there is no air penetrating from the lungs to the exterior. Tasa inkav ila'a lo inkav. Exactly what I just said. That the lower seal has a hole in it, but the upper seal does not have a hole. V'hai da'avsha zika de'beni beni hu. And as far as the air and the hissing, that's just simply the air going from the lower to the upper. Amar ula amar Rav Yochanan reish nishbacha kikiton kshera. Now, what if the lung basically has liquefied? Meaning it's still in the pouch, but basically now the lungs are no longer spongy, but they basically have turned into a liquid. So, So Rav Yochanan over here, interestingly, is mekel. And he says that such an animal is in fact kshera. Now, the Gemara's assumption over here is that, well, if the lungs now have liquefied, so that means that within the casing of the lungs, there must be something missing now. There's got to be some sort of chisaron, and to that, the Gemara is suggesting that, according to Rav Yochanan, that's not a big deal. That will not render an animal trefa. So, Eisvei Rabbi Abba Leula, Reish Nikva Shechasra. So, to that, Rabbi Abba asks Ula the following question, a brisa that we saw previously, and we're going to see again as well, and that is the lung that has either a hole or a chisaron, so such a lung would be trefa. Now, when we say a hole, we think we know what that means, a perforation. But when we're talking about a chisaron, what does that mean? My chasra, ilem b'chotainu nikva. Now, if the chisaron is on the exterior of the lungs, is that no different than a hole? And didn't we just say that a hole is going to make a treif? If a hole is going to make a treif, certainly a chisaron on the exterior of the lung is going to make a treif. El alav mibifnim. So we must be talking about on the interior. And so if that's correct, so that means now that as long as there is missing lung on the interior, so then the animal would be a trefa, and that's going against what you're saying. Lo, the Gemara says, I could deflect, and I could say, la olam mibachutz. No. The way to read the Braisa is that when we say chisaron is no good, we mean on the exterior. And I know what your question was. Well, if a perforation is going to make it a trefa, so isn't the chisaron for sure going to make it a trefa? So the Gemara says, no, because this brisa is addressing the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, it's going according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now remember, Rabbi Shimon says that in order for a nekif to render an animal trefa, the perforation has to go from the outside of the lung, the exterior of the lung, all the way through into the main bronchial tube. If the perforation does not penetrate that far down, according to Rabbi Shimon, the animal is not a trefa. And so what the Gemara is teaching us is the following. The Braisa says, Nekev o chaser. That's talking about, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Yes, it's true that Rabbi Shimon is lenient, and a perforation will not render the animal trefa until it goes all the way through into the main bronchial tube. That's true. But if there is a chaser, if there's actually lung material missing, so then even according to Rabbi Shimon, the lungs would be a trefa. Gemara continues. Rabbi Chanina Chalash. Rabbi Chanina Sik Alagabe Rabbi Nasan. V'chol Gedolei Hador. And a Bikur Cholim visited by numerous Rabbanim headed by Rabbi Nasan. Aisukame Rea Shinishbecha Kikiton V'achshara. And so they found a set of lungs of an animal where now has become liquefied. And they asked the question, and all the chachamim there said that the animal is in fact kosher. Am Rava v'hudekamistim ponos. Now Rava says, okay, very good. I agree with that ruling. However, the bronchial tubes must still be intact, meaning that the only acceptable the only acceptable pathology of the lungs is only when the lung material start to liquefy. But the bronchial tubes still have to remain in its solid state. Now, Amrle Rav Achabre de Ravle Rav Ashi Menayadinan. Okay, good. So that's great. So now we have a pouch of liquid lungs. Okay, don't eat while listening to this. So now you have a pouch of liquid lungs. And so you want to now know that we just learned together that according to Rava, it's only going to be okay as long as those are just representative of the lung material, but not the actual bronchial tubes. How do I know? So here's what you do. So Amar Le Maisin and Saad de Kunya. So what you're going to do is that you're going to bring a bowl that is glazed. And so basically what we're going to do is that we're going to pour the contents of the lungs into this bowl. And now that because of the glazing, so it's going to provide for us a great background. So now we're going to be able to see. Vishavchina la begaveh. Pour the content of the lungs into this bowl. Now, if you see any white material in the liquid, so you know that that was remnants of bronchial tubes, and that's not going to be good, meaning the animal will be trefa. But if all I have is just the pink stuff and no white bronchial tube matter, so as we just learned together, so if it's just the lung material that liquefied, so under those circumstances, it would be kosher. Again, I love the medical questions. It's wonderful that you're asking me. You're asking the wrong person. Okay, can I reference you to somebody who probably can answer the question better than me? Okay. Okay. You're just not asking the right person. I'm Rav Nachman Reish and Imoka.
No, the main
tubes where all the other ones flow into.
But you have one coming down, it splits into two, and then those go into smaller and smaller.
And they keep
So if you punch it into the air sac, it's still kosher?
According to Rabbi Shimon. Mm-hmm. According to Rabbi Shimon. Amar of Nachman Reish and Imoka. Vikrum shalakayim kshera. So if I have lungs that disintegrate, right, Rashi, nisrokna me'eleha miksasa. So in other words, Rashi over here is differentiating between what we discussed previously versus what we're discussing right now. Previously, the lung material is all there. It just moved from a solid state or a spongy state into a liquid state. Over here now, we're talking about where just some of it is missing. We have an absence of material. And under those circumstances, what do we say? So Rav Nachman says, Reish nimoka v'kum shalakayim kshera. So it would in fact be kosher. As long as the outer pouch is still intact, it's going to be kosher. I feel machzekes revius kshera. Even if it's machzekes revius, Rashi, the way Rashi understands it over here, meaning even if the absence area is the revius, right? Generally speaking, we're talking about revius, we're measuring content. Here we're measuring absence. Even if the absence is that of a revius, it's going to be kosher. Nitla shalpuchi shalah, as we now turn to the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph. If the shalpuchis, which presumably is the uterus, is removed from the animal is still kosher. Hitliya kavit shalah. Now, what about the lungs? What if the lungs are infested with, the Gemara over here describes as worms? So, and so they, the members of the people of Asya, Asya, one of the places where the Sanhedrin was sent into exile, right? It sounds very similar to the English word Asia, okay? But Asia is a big place. So where exactly Asya is? Somewhere outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's the best I can do for you. And then, of three different conventions, on three different regalim, so they discuss the matter of the wormy liver, and only by the third regal did they come to the conclusion that the animal is still going to be kosher. Now, at that point in time, I don't think this particular liver was edible. Right. The freezer is still a couple hundred years away from being created. But anyway, but the point is, but the halacha, that doesn't change. The halacha is that they were matir.
Is shalchus the same as the aim?
It sounds that way. Right? That's what Rashi says. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyum, Amar Rav Nachman Re'as Mucha L'Dofen, Ein Choshesh En La. Now, previously in yesterday's daf, we talked about adhesions, but we talked about adhesions where the adhesion was where was one of the lobes was connected to another one of the lobes. We talked about contiguous and non-contiguous. Here now we're talking about an adhesion that is connecting between the lung and the interior cavity of the chest of the animal. And so over here now, we have an adhesion. Now again, as we discussed yesterday, we'll learn it like Rashi. An adhesion is indicative of the fact that there once upon a time was a hole, and so now mucus is going through the hole and creating this stringy adhesion connecting one part to another. Over here now, because the adhesion is connecting the lung to the interior chest, so the truth of the matter is that what we have over here are two possible culprits in terms of which had the hole in it and which produced the adhesion. Is it the lung or is it the chest cavity? Well, if it's the lung, we have a problem. If it's the chest, then we're okay. And so under those circumstances, what do we say? So interestingly, Rav Nachman's going to be a mekel. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Reas Mucha L'Dofen Nechoshesh En La. So Rav Nachman's position is, we're okay. It's super interesting that according to Rav Nachman, we're going to be mekel. Consider that we have a real possibility that this adhesion is actually coming from the lung and from a hole in the lung. And yet, because there's another possibility, so therefore Rav Nachman's going to be a mekel. How is Rav Nachman mekel under such circumstances? That's a really, really good question. I don't have the totality of the answer to that question, but it's certainly very interesting. Okay, but and there's a real possibility that it came from the lung. Okay, again, I raise the question. It's a good question. It obviously demands an answer. Good. I'm limited. So, helta tzmachim, choshishin la. However, if we see a bunch of blisters around the area where this adhesion is connected to the lung, so that now is symptomatic that this is most probably coming from the lung. We now have further evidence that the adhesion is really a result of the hole in the lung as opposed to the inner cavity of the chest. And so, therefore, but we at this point in time, we're now going to have to be machmer. Mar Yehuda, Amishmei Davim, Amar Echad Zev Echad Zev Choshesh En La. Now, Rav Yehuda, Mar Yehuda says, in the name of Avimi, I don't understand. You have an adhesion. I understand one part is connected to the interior of the chest, but on the other hand, the other part is connected to the lung. We have a real concern that this adhesion is coming as a result of the hole in the lung. So under all circumstances, he's going to be machmir, and he's going to say that the animal is, in fact, treif. Hechi avdinan, what do you do? Now, this question of hechi avdinan, not clear in the Gemara. Is it going on Rav Nachman's psak, or is it the one that we just saw, the more chomer psak of Avimi? Not clear. But Hechi Avdina, what do you do? Amar Rava, Ravin Bar Shiva Asbar Ali, was explained to me, Maisinan Sakina Dechalish Pume, Umifarkinala. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a very sharp knife and we're going to cut off the adhesion proximate to the interior of the chest. And so now, what we're going to do is that we're going to take the knife, cut the adhesion that is proximate to the chest and see. If we can now see that the area in the chest itself has a little bit of a hole in it, so that means now that this adhesion, this mucus adhesion, probably came from the chest, and so therefore we are fine. Now, even if there is no air going through that hole, but again, the visibility of a hole is indicative of the fact that it probably came from the chest, not from the lung. Rav Nachman Bered Rav Yosef Badik Le Bipshure. Now, Rav Nachman Bered Rav Yosef, what he would do is that he would take the lungs and he would put it into warm water, like we described previously. Amale Marzusha Bered Rav Huna Bered Rav Papila Ravina Had Rav Nachman Bered Rav Yosef Ason. Aha masnisalan anan. We learned it going on the following. Adir Rava masnisanla. We learned it on the halacha of Rava. The Amar Rava hanitarti una dereya. The sarchinan lahadade. Let's say we have two lobes where there is an adhesion connecting these two lobes. Leisu bidikusa lachshure. Where there's no way to be machshure it. We simply do not know. Rav Nechemya bereid Rav Yosef badikla bepshure. Now Rav Nechemya checked it using warm water. So Maskel Ravashi. So Ravashi says, wait 1 second. I totally don't understand. Previously, when the adhesion was connecting the lungs to the interior wall of the chest, so there, at least there is a 1 in 2 chance that that adhesion is not coming from the chest, but rather coming from the wall. So now you want to use some other way of testing the lungs to see whether or not they're airtight or not airtight. Okay. But hi my. But if the adhesion is connecting two lobes of the lung, what good is the water test? Bishlam ha'cha talim b'dofen u'ksheira, avahasam ihai nakiv trefa, vihai nakiv trefa. I don't understand. When the adhesion is connecting two lobes of the lungs, so that means that it probably came from one of the two. So either way, the animal would be a trefa. What good is the water test under those circumstances? We did say it was good. Presumably over here, either the Gemara is arguing over here, or it's just non-contiguous lobes. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Nachman that if I have a hole in the lung and the wall of the chest is in fact going to be sosim, it's going to be kasher. Lo kasher hasam b'makom revisa, hachi shalom b'makom revisa. So the Gemara says, well, depends. It depends where in the chest we have this phenomena. If we have in the chest where the lungs are secured against the interior of the chest, and that is more cranial, where there it's a tight, snug fit between the lungs and the cranial lobes. And the upper chest. So under those circumstances, you're right. A hole over there would in fact be sealed, and it would be fine. V'hecha makom revisa chitucha de une. What we just described, where you have definition in the unim, in the cranial lobes of the lung, there the connection between lobes and the chest and the interior chest is a tight, snug fit, and so consequently, a hole over there can in fact be sealed by the interior of the chest. So the Gemara now just said over the halacha, but would like to spend more time with this halacha about the seal of the chest. Now Ravina says, yes, that part's true. But it has to be an area in the chest where there is muscle. So that means to say that it's not just that the lung is flush against the inner rib cage, but rather there's actually muscle in that area, and that muscle is going to be serving as a seal. So Amalei Rav Yosef Ravina V'ilo Savich Mai Trefa Ama Amrina Nekuvahi. So the Gemara says, now, if in fact there is no muscle over there, and I have a hole in some of the cranial lobes, and it is flush against the inner chest of the animal, however, there's no muscle over there, so that means that there's a nekev. So Da'atanya nikev pasul mimnei shehu shoseis nistam. Kasher mimnei shehu molid. V'zel pasul shechozer le'achshero. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Let's compare this to another area in halacha, not connected to treifa, but where we're talking about where there's a hole and there's a plug. And that is by the male member. So by the aver of a man, the halacha is very clear. Nikev pasul mimnei shehu shoseis. If there is a hole, so that individual, that man, now it falls under the category of a krus shavcha, and that man is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. Now, nistam, now if that hole gets plugged up, kosher. Mimnei shehu molid, because now that would bring about a state of potency for the man, and so the man can now marry a woman. Vizehu psul shechozer le'ekshero. Now, over there in that braisa, it reads very critically. It says, this is a circumstance where you could have a hole and there could be a plug for such a hole. Zeh lemute mai. Now, when we say zehu, what is that coming to exclude? Lav lemute ki agavna. It must be excluding our discussion. Meaning that when you have a hole in any of the lobes of the lung, I don't care where it is, I don't care that it's cranial, I don't care that it's next to the rib cage, isn't a hole going to be a hole under all circumstances? And no plug and no tight fit whatsoever is going to help it. So the Gemara says, lo lamute krum shalom achmas maka bereya. So the Gemara says, no. If we're talking about where there was some sort of wound in the lungs and a hole comes as a result of that, so then enachinami. Then I'm gonna totally agree with you. No plug, organic or non-organic, is going to help out such a situation. So krum shalom achmas maka bereya dena krum. But in other words, but if the hole existed in the area of the lobes that is proximate to the inner cavity, where it's so snug that it basically is going to seal it from inception, so then it would be fine. Maskal Rav Ukva Barchama Ilu Inkev Bedofen Lada Mai Trefa. So the Gemara says, now, here's also what you're telling me. You're telling me that if I have a hole in the lungs, in an area where there's a really tight fit in the rib cage, and there's muscle, and there's muscular area over there, which means now that such a seal would in fact be a good seal. But you're also telling me that if the hole were to continue and penetrate out of the rib cage, so then you're telling me that under those circumstances, the animal would be a trefa. What have we just discovered? An additional trefa to the 18 mentioned in the Mishnah, right? So listening to Kuvas Hadofen. So why isn't the Mishnah also include Nikuvas Hadofen? But the answer you probably figured out already. So the Gemara says, well, you know, if the gallbladder has a hole in it, but it's sealed by the liver, so under those circumstances, it would be fine. And il in kikavi lahadam my trefa. So the Gemara says, and you know that if the liver now has a hole in it, so that the bile in the gallbladder is going to continue through the hole of the liver, so then it's going to be a trefa. Now listen to Kuvas Hakaved. So now can we add another example to our Mishnah of a hole in the liver? But obviously we all know the answer. Because the trefa over there, the problem of the pathology over there is not the hole in the liver, it's a hole in the gallbladder. The liver could just stop the hole, can plug the hole. But in other words, but it's not a hole in the liver that's creating the problem. So alaki nikva delav mina mitrefa lo ketani. Hachinami kevin delav mina mitrefa lo ketani. So over here as well, if there is a hole in the rib cage, which is allowing the air in the lungs to escape through the hole in the rib cage, the problem is not the hole in the rib cage, the problem is the hole in the lung. Good. Bamine Rava Barchana Mishmo. Helsot Smachim Mahu. Okay, and we're back to blisters. Now previously we were talking about blisters that are surrounding an adhesion. We learned in the beginning of today's Amud that if I have an adhesion connecting the lungs to the interior wall of the chest. So machlokas amoraim, whether it would or would not be good. But even according to Rav Nachman, who is more lenient, if blisters are surrounding the area of the adhesion on the lungs, so even Rav Nachman, who's more lenient in general, is going to be machmer under those circumstances. But now the Gemara is just talking about blisters in of themselves. So, but
the way you translate it, it sounds like it's the same as a boor.
As a what?
A boor?
Yeah.
So we said already that a boor is kusha.
We did say that. Okay, so watch. So, Bamine Rabba Barbachana Mishmo, Helsa Tzmachimahu, Amalek Sheira. So he says it's kasher. So Amalei Afani Omer Kain. So I agree. I think blisters on the lungs are fine. Elisha Altamidem Mizdanzin Bedavra. But you know those students. So they are quivering on the matter. Megamgamim, says Rashi. They're vacillating. The Amar of Masna Malya Mugla Trefa. In fact, they are particular about what the blister is filled with. If it's filled with pus, they believe that the animal is a trefa. If it's filled with clear water, so the animal is kshera. And he says, look, I learned the same thing also, that there exists such a distinction. But I only learned that distinction regarding the kidney. By the lungs, I think all blisters are fine. Itmar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef Havaka Azabasre de Rabbi Yirmiyah Beshuka, de Tavche. Chazin Olahanach de Kaimeit Samche, Samche. And so there was Rabbi Yirmiyah walking with the students, with a colleague, I should say. And they were walking in the marketplace. And they saw the butchers, and they saw the lungs. And it was filled with these blisters. Amarlei lo bayimar umtsa. And so now, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef is trying to get out of Rabbi Yirmiyah, is it kosher or is it not kosher? But instead of asking the question straightforward, because for reasons which I cannot explain why, he knows he's not going to get a straight answer. Although, a little bit later, we may see why. But he's not going to get a straight answer. So he goes about it in kind of a roundabout way. Are you not in the mood for some meat right now? Let's go purchase an animal, you and I. How about that animal right now, right there, pointing to the animal with the lungs that have blisters on them? So Amrlei, Laisli, Priti. So Rav Yirmiyah now, they're having a conversation, not having anything to do with the issue per se, but now it becomes a totally external discussion. I got no money on me, says Rav Yirmiyah. I can't buy the meat. So Amrlei Akfan. So Rav Acha says to Rav Yirmiyah, well, no problem at all. I'll just simply lend you the money. You'll buy on credit. So Akfanana. Amrlei Ma'avilach. Dechi asa l'kamid Rav Yochanan. Mishadulu l'kamid Rav Yehuda b'Rebbe Shimon. Demarim ba mishmei de Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon. Le'tera v'lei lo svirilei. So Rav Yirmiyah says, look, what do you want from me at this point in time? Here's what I know. That if the lungs have blisters on them, and any such lungs were sent to Rav Yochanan, he immediately would ship them out to other Rabbanim who were more makel. Because Rav Yochanan himself, if left to his own devices and his own psak, Rav Yochanan would be a machmir on the matter. So Rav Yirmiyah says, so look, I know Rav Yochanan in general is more machmir on the matter, so what do you want from me? Now, it is super interesting over here at this point in the Gemara, which is that if Rav Yochanan himself was a machmir on the matter, so how can he then go ahead and send it off to somebody else? Rashi, on the very bottom, addresses that very question. V'lei lo svirilei, Rashi, second to last Rashi on the Amud, l'Rabbi Yochanan lo svirilei lachshorei, u'mitref nami lo havetarif la nihalei, d'lo shamina luhu meirabe. So the reason why Rabbi Yochanan did not have a decisive answer on this matter is because Rabbi Yochanan did not have a mesorah one way or another. Like I said in the beginning of Shir today, a lot of these trefos, if not all of them, are based on Misora, based on traditions that were passed down from generation to generation. And so, along with blisters on it, so Rav Yochanan did not have a tradition in either direction. If he had a tradition that such an animal would be a trefa, so says Rashi, of course he would say that such an animal would in fact be a trefa. However, he did not have any such tradition, and so therefore he passed it along to people who he knew would be makel on the matter. When I walked behind Rav Nachman in the marketplace, the Gildai, right, and it happened to have been that we were walking amongst tanners. Must have not smelled well. The Amrila b'shuka de Rabbanan, or some say it was shuka de Rabbanan. Not clear what that is. But anyway, in other words, a marketplace of the Chachamim. But anyway, Chazu hanach de kame kande kande. So I showed another set of blisters on lungs. Rashi describes them as being larger blisters. So, Chazi hanach de kame kande kande. V'lo amrlu v'lo midi. Now, he did not give a response. It sounds like meaning to say that he did not feel it to be a problem. Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi avechafe b'shuka de Tveria. Chazi hanach de kame tinare tinare. And they showed another set of blisters. Rashi describes them being even larger. And Rashi describes them as being rock hard. Right? You see the Rashi? Tinare? Tzmachim gedolim mikande. Ukvar huksha kisela. Rock hard. Right? I meant it literally. Velo armelu velo midi. And here as well, no concerns, no issues whatsoever. Rashi says We find these in our animals. If you take a look at the top Rashi, we'll finish with this top Rashi. So the Elohein Osim Amitzuim Be'meim Shalanu. So Rashi says, you look at our animals nowadays, right? France, circa 12th century. And you're going to find that many of the lungs on many of our animals have these rock-hard blisters on top of them. Shalana Berea, Ve'ein Mariam Doma Larea, Ela Domim Kemare Mugla. V'lav Hainu Atum Berea, Da Atum Ein Sham Semach, Ve'einu Mishtana Minarea, Ela She'ein Ola Benefecha. Rashi says, this is not similar to what we learned earlier this morning. Earlier this morning, we talked about blockage in the lungs and that presenting itself as a problem with only subsequent testing to make it okay. But Rashi says, but that's not the same over here. Over here, clearly these are blisters, growths on the lungs, and it's different than what we learned earlier. Meanwhile, it seems like from the Gemara that all blisters are okay. But again, mind you, by the way, in the beginning of today's daf, we learned about blisters that are surrounding adhesions. Where there, that does not speak well of the adhesion, meaning that most likely then the adhesion is coming from the lung. So, but blisters in themselves, the Gemara goes over all different types of variations. Gemara seems to indicate that they're fine.